It's Central Time. I'm Dean Knetter, in today for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Now, daylight savings ended this weekend, and Wisconsin is once again plunged into darkness every night before 5 p.m. But we don't have to dread the cold, dark days ahead. Research suggests that changing our mindset heading into the winter can make things a lot easier. We're joined by a psychologist and winter well-being expert about how we can embrace and enjoy the Midwest's harshest season, and we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Does your mood change when there's less daylight? Do you experience seasonal affective disorder or some milder variation of the so-called winter blues? Or is winter actually your favorite season? If so, what's your secret? What do you do? What keeps your mood up? Let us know by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie Leibowitz is a health psychologist, speaker, and writer. Her upcoming book, How to Winter, will be out next fall. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, what do we know about why some of us do tend to get down during the winter? Is it the cold and the darkness and things happening physically? Is it culture? What's happening?
I think it's all of these things. So we have a physiological, physical response to the darkness, right? So the lack of sunlight impacts our energy levels, which can impact our mood. We might feel more sleepy. That's very normal. I also think it depends on our culture, where we grew up, and our mindsets about the season, which is what my research is about. So a lot of people, I think, start to see the winter as a really limiting time of year. This darkness makes people feel tired. They feel like they want to be less social. The cold might make it harder to go outside and do some of the things we like to do outdoors. And so when we view winter as this really limiting time of year, it's natural that we would feel kind of grumpy in response to that we would feel a little bit blech, like as the days get shorter and the weather gets colder.
Sure. So it's a normal thing. And here in Wisconsin, we have harsh winters, no doubt about it. You spent time living in Norway, in the Arctic Circle, and those are winters. I mean, you had several months without any sunlight. What did you observe there about how people handled the winter season?
So I'm originally from New Jersey, from the Jersey Shore, where, you know, we care a lot about summer. And I moved to northern Norway to a city called Tromsø, which is north of the Arctic Circle. And as you mentioned, it's so far north there that they have 2 months of what they call the polar night. This is the time where the sun doesn't rise above the horizon for 2 full months. And I was really scared. I was really nervous about getting depressed. I was really worried about the cold and the dark. And I really felt like winter would obviously be a depressing time of year because that was really the winters that I was raised in really seemed to look at the season as a time of year that was no fun. But then when I actually got to the Arctic and I was living in northern Norway and talking to people, they had a really different experience of the season. They really enjoy the winter. I mean, they love winter sports and winter activities. So skiing is a really big one, but also ice skating and hockey and snowmobiling. They really see the darkness there as cozy, as relaxing, as peaceful. And winter as a time of year for sort of reveling in that coziness, slowing down, resting more, doing, you know, more cozy things inside in front of the fire. And so gradually through living there and being exposed to this different culture, this different way of seeing the winter and behaving in the winter, I became converted myself into something of a winter lover.
And I admit myself this week, I've already been catching myself saying things like, oh, I'm dreading the darkness. Oh, it's going to get bad. I'm going to get lazy. Even if I'm not there yet, when you talk to people who weren't so worried about the darkness and the cold in Norway, what kind of things were they saying when it was coming up?
Yeah, Dean, you are not alone. A lot of people love to complain about the winter and sort of even before it's really begun, as you mentioned, to really talk about, you know, how they assume that it's going to negatively affect them. But in northern Norway, I found people talked about the things they were looking forward to a lot more. Some people still struggled and some people still found the darkness challenging, but a lot more people than I was used to were talking about how much they were looking forward to the snow and to skiing, how much they were excited about the coziness of what they call the dark time, how ready they felt for sort of winter to be here so they could slow down after the craziness of summer where it's actually light out all the time. And so people just seem to have more things that they could zone in on and talk about that they were sort of anticipating positively.
We're talking with Carrie Leibowitz right now, health psychologist and winter well-being expert, about how to keep our mood up during the winter season. You can call in too at 800-642-1234. How do you stay happy? How do you stay active during winter? Is it a time that you dread or do you look forward to it? Why is that? 800-642-1234. Now, Carrie, were there ways, as you mentioned, humans are kind of unique in this way that we want to power through the winter as if nothing is changing in the daylight and in our circadian rhythms. Other animals don't do that. Were there ways in Norway that you saw people kind of offsetting those physical differences in the day?
It's true. I mean, we're the only animals that try not to change our behavior when the seasons change. And, you know, in most of Wisconsin, you probably have a 6-hour or more difference between the lightest day of the year and the darkest day of the year. So assuming that that's not going to affect you or that you won't have to change your behavior is really an example of sort of fighting against the season. And so there's this line that we sort of want to walk where we admit and accept that the darkness and the season is going to affect us, but don't assume that that effect has to be negative. And so I saw people in northern Norway where the seasons are so extreme have a lot more comfort in feeling more tired in the winter. That wasn't seen as a problem or something that they should feel bad about, but it was seen as sort of a natural yearly rhythm. And so people were known to sleep more in the winter and sort of use that as a time of year to get a little bit more rest. A lot of people there do use these sort of sun lamp alarm clocks in the morning, especially when they have to get up and go to work or school and the sun isn't rising, to get some of that brightness at the beginning of the day to get us going. Another thing that I saw people doing was really working with the darkness rather than against it. So I think when it's really dark, sometimes we want to turn on all the lights in the house and sort of try to banish the darkness. But actually sort of finding the opportunity in the darkness and keeping the lights low, lighting candles, using twinkly lights, using lamps rather than bright overhead lights, sort of makes the season feel cozier and makes the darkness, you know, more of something to be enjoyed and appreciated rather than something that we want to really push away. And so they have this way of adapting to the winter and trying to change their behaviors in ways that are sort of in tune with the season.
Let's go to our callers right now. We have Karen with us in Delafield. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Just wanted to share a story. I personally kind of go down in the winter, but I have a lot of artwork that I do. I put my lights on, and that helps. But I met a woman a few years ago in Iceland. She was a Swedish woman. And I asked her, isn't it really hard for you to have this dark, dark winter for so long? And she said, no, I love it. I love it. I read my books, and I just really enjoy it. So I thought it was a very positive thing to think about.
Oh, Karen, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And Carrie, it sounds like pretty familiar to you from what you've heard and what I've seen you write about.
Absolutely. Thanks for that story, Karen. Yeah, I went to Iceland as well as part of the research I did for my book that's coming out next year called How to Winter. And in Iceland and sort of throughout Scandinavia, they have this similar view that the winter is really something to enjoy. And I think part of it comes from this idea that because the winters in these places are so extreme and the changes in light and dark are so intense, people have to find a way to embrace it. You really can't survive in a lot of these places if you're going to be really miserable for 8 or 10 months out of the year when you have these really long winters. And so I think we can learn from some of these places where the winters are harsher about how to, you know, embrace and enjoy the winter in places in the US like Wisconsin, where the winters are still pretty intense and extreme, but maybe they don't have that full polar night that really forces you to pay attention and change your behavior. And Karen, you mentioned artwork at the beginning, and I think the winter is a great time for creative pursuits, for doing art, practicing and playing music, writing poetry, and really thinking of the winter as a time of year that we get to indulge in those things when we might be too busy outside to do that in the summer can really make the time of year feel special.
Karen, thanks for that call, and I am also looking forward to hunkering down and doing some painting over this winter. We're talking with health psychologist, speaker, and writer Carrie Leibowitz right now. She's sharing what she's learned about mental well-being during her time living in the Arctic Circle. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you cope with the cold and darkness of the winter season? What activities do you look forward to every winter? What about social gatherings or certain types of foods? And what are your tips for getting outdoors in the winter? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up the talk with health psychologist, speaker, and writer Carrie Leibowitz. Her upcoming book is called How to Winter. She's giving us tips on how to beat the winter blues by making small changes to our mindset and our lifestyle. We're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Hi, Mark.
Hey. So my wife and I, you know, winter was kind of a blue time. My kids got involved in a winter sport. Up here in Eau Claire, we have the Eau Claire Flying Eagles Ski Jumping Club. Now we travel to Michigan and Minnesota and Illinois and all over Wisconsin for competitions. And by golly, winter, it can be so much fun. You just got to get out and do something.
Wow. And Mark, ski jumping, are we talking the big jumps, maybe not as big as we see in the Olympics, but something like that?
Oh, you work your way up. Absolutely.
Wow, very cool.
I'm always going to jump into 35 this year.
Wow, awesome stuff. Well, Mark, thanks for calling in with that. And Carrie, what do you think about Mark's solution of getting outdoors for himself or for his kids?
I mean, Mark, I love it. I am way too scared to try ski jumping, but I'm very impressed. And I think the key thing here that you've picked up on is that before you had something really specific that you and your family looked forward to about the winter, it was maybe a time that was kind of blue for you. But if you have something that you only do in the winter that makes the season fun and special, then it starts to unlock all these opportunities and possibilities during this time of year and gives you something positive to anticipate. And so I think winter sports are a big one, and a lot of the people and a lot of the cultures around the world that really love and embrace winter are places that are really into winter sports.
Mark, thanks again for that call. Let's go next to Cyril in Madison. Hey, Cyril.
Hi there. I wanted to say that I look forward to winter because it's the one season of the year where I'm not sneezing or coughing or stuffed up, you know. If it's green and grows, I'm allergic to it. So winter is a relief for me. But I just wanted to mention, you know, having been up, you know, north of the circle and all, and living with the townspeople there, that not only were you getting acclimated to the environment, but you were also becoming assimilated to the social environments of the townspeople and their activities and their train of thought, so to speak.
Well, Cyril, thanks for the call. Carrie, what do you think?
Yes, definitely, Cyril. So I think our mindsets are contagious. And so even though we all as individuals have mindsets, our mindsets are influenced by the people and culture around us. And so it was a lot easier for me to change my mindset about winter and start seeing winter more positively in Tromsø, in Northern Norway, than if I had been somewhere else where that wasn't the norm. And I also think your point about allergies is really good. Another one that comes up for people is mosquitoes, which are such a unfortunate part of summer. And so I think, you know, you can also focus on, you know, some of the things that you are freed from in the winter, whether that's seasonal allergies or whether that's mosquitoes or whether it's sunburn. You know, every season has pros and cons. And so leaning into some of the pros of winter and maybe remembering some of the cons of other seasons can help you find more things to like about winter.
Yeah, that was a great example of leaning in. You know, if nothing else, the winter is at least clean. It's at least clean. Cyril, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Mike in Rusk County. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was born and raised in far northern Wisconsin, and I mean, I love this. I love this season and going into the winter. You know, one of the things I've always said, and I think it ties into the last caller in kind of a way, is that the people that don't like winter, in my experience, are people who are more concerned about fashion than they are about comfort. You know, the thing about summer, when it gets really hot, really humid, you can't, you cannot strip down far enough to get comfortable. But in the wintertime, you could put a sweater on. And if you're not, you know, if you wear actual good gloves, good mitts, good hats and stuff, instead of trying to be fashionable and go, and you're not going to muss up your hairdo so you don't wear a hat, and you're not going to, you know, you got to have show the pecs, so you're going to have a tight jacket to have any comfort.
Sure thing, Mike. Thanks for the call. And hey, that's another example of a way to free yourself of something, free yourself of the obligation to look stylish. What do you think?
Yes. And I mean, dressing appropriately for the winter is so huge, because even people who love the winter don't like the feeling of being cold. And so I think it's really important to dress warmly enough that we can be outside and we can do activities in the winter without feeling freezing. One thing I really appreciated in Northern Norway is they're very sporty there. And so there was this sort of actual overlap between what was considered stylish and fashionable and what was practical, where sort of having, you know, the right winter gear was sort of seen as very fashionable there. And I think even if you are someone who is stylish, you know, sometimes there's people who love their winter coat collection, or they have a great sweater collection. And if you're someone who maybe doesn't care as much about fashion, then winter can be really a time of year into leaning into the comfort of your wardrobe and really making sure you're just snug and bundled, which I personally love.
Thanks for that call. We can go next to Tiffany in Blue River. Hey, Tiffany.
Hello. I love winter because I love to bake. And therefore, I'm not heating the house up. And as a big family event, like, we go to each other's houses and we have like a little bake fest for holidays and Thanksgiving. And everybody gets to eat and be merry. And it's a really good way to connect with family and loved ones that you don't always have the time for, because you're always on the go in summertime.
Tiffany, thanks for that call. Again, segmenting different parts of the year for different types of activities, Carrie.
Yes, and I think baking is a really good one, both because it's an indoor activity and, as you mentioned, Tiffany, it warms the house up. So I once met a man whose wife would not let him bake bread in the summer because it made the house too warm. And so, like you, winter was really his baking season. And so I think that's a two for one. And Dean, I got to say, we're hearing from so many winter lovers. I don't think the people of Wisconsin need me. They have all of these solutions that they're already doing.
I need this. This is a great segment for me, if for no one else out there. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for that call. I think we've got time for one more call. Let's go to Julie joining us from Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Julie.
Well, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to call. I'm a transplanted badger, and I love winter. I look forward to it. I look forward to staying on regular time, not daylight savings. But I had two comments. One is that apparently the Norwegian language has a saying that says that there's no bad weather, there's only bad clothes.
And that's exactly right. Thanks, Julie. Yeah.
And the other thing is when they do these surveys of the happiest countries in the world, why are most of them in Scandinavia?
Gotcha. Where? Julie, thanks so much for the call. We just have about 1 minute left or so. Carrie, your final thoughts on what Julie had to say or any other things you want to leave us with for a pep talk heading into winter?
Yeah, well, I will say that our mindsets really matter, but so does the context that we're in. And so a quick answer to Julie's questions is a lot of these countries have really strong social safety nets. They have, you know, things like good childcare, parental leave, education, and healthcare. And so I think we can all work on our individual mindsets. And then those things can help changing the culture so that we start being surrounded by other people who also love and enjoy and appreciate winter so that we can all find the joy and fun in the season together.
Well, Carrie, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us today.
Thanks. It's been just a delight.
Carrie Leibowitz is a health psychologist, speaker, and writer. Her upcoming book is How to Winter. That'll be out next fall. We talked with her about how to embrace and enjoy the dark and cold Wisconsin winters. Thanks to all of you for calling in, too. You can keep the conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know if you like winter, if you dislike it, and what keeps your mood up when it's cold and dark. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Dean Knetter, in for Rob Ferret. More to come. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.